Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Wednesday night, Bible study, we're going through the book of Revelation. Now, I thought it'd be good, because of where we're at in this book, to kind of do a little review and give you a little outline. Because sometimes when you're reading through this, it's important to see the overview. Sometimes we get locked in on our little piece of the puzzle, remember? That part we really like and want to hear, and we read one little section and say, what does that mean? But we don't see the overview. And so this is not an intense, it's a very loose outline of Revelation. Chapter 1, we're introduced to John and to Jesus. Chapter 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches. Chapter 4 and 5, by the way, at this point, the church is raptured. Chapters 4 and 5, we see worship in heaven, and we see the Lamb in the scroll. Remember, who can open the scroll? Worthy is the Lamb. Chapter 6, the six seals that are undone off the scroll. Chapter 7, the 144,000 are sealed. Chapters 8 and 9, the seventh seal and the six trumpets. Chapter 10, the small scroll. Now, notice what the pattern is here. We see a picture of heaven. We see what's going on there. We see six of the seals open, and then there's like an interlude, right? It shifts back and forth from earth to heaven and goes back and forth here. And so 8 and 9 are the seventh seal and the six trumpets. The seventh seal is the six trumpets. Then there's the small scroll. Then we have two witnesses and the seventh trumpet. And then in chapters 12, 13, and 14, 12 is the woman and the dragon, Israel, and the battle there. 13, the Antichrist and the false prophet are introduced. 14, the harvest of the earth. And then we come to chapter 15 and 16, the seven bowls. The seven bowls is the seventh trumpet. All right? So it's just a picture. You see how he does it. You sixth of something, then a little break, then the seventh, then a little break, and so on. And so that's what he's doing. But now we're coming to a place where things change. Chapter 15 is the shortest chapter in the book. Let's begin. God's wrath comes to completion. God's wrath comes to completion. We got the text up there. If you have questions, you can answer. Ask them. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, don't miss this. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. Okay? In other words, at the end of this, it's complete. He's done. The wrath's been poured out. We're there at the end. I saw before me what seemed like to be a glass sea mixed with fire. We've seen this glass sea before in an earlier chapter. And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. This answers the question of whether or not people will be saved during the tribulation. Now, just make sure you understand, chapter 4 and 5 begins the seven-year period of the tribulation. So from chapter 4 to where we are now, we're in that seven-year period. We're at the end of it at this point in time. They were all holding harps that God had given them. I think this is where we get the idea that this is what we're going to do in heaven. Okay? We've all got harps. Believe me, if I've got a harp, that's not a good thing. You know, I mean, it's good that I'm there, but evidently I'm going to have a new talent or something. But it has to do with, remember, you know, at this day and time, what musical instruments did they have? There weren't many, were there? And so it's signifying the worship that is being given to God. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, the song of Moses, most people, it's one of two places. It's either the song that was sung after they crossed the Red Sea. We know in that sea, and all of the Egyptians were drowned, they said they sang. It could be reference to that. It could be a reference to at the end of Moses' life when he sees the promised land and he does this. Not sure, but anyway, it could be something completely different than that. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. That's a great song. That's a great thing to know. That's a great prayer to pray. And so we're told here, at the beginning of chapter 15, okay, things are coming to an end. Things are getting wrapped up. All right? We good? The seven bowls containing God's wrath. The seven bowls containing God's wrath. Verse 5, chapter 15. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. Maybe a significance similar to when Jesus died on the cross, the veil is rent, but heaven is just open wide. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen and gold sashes across their chest, kind of a reference to the priesthood. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could even enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. Now, we're back to this wrath of God thing. We live a day and time where people do not want to admit that God has wrath. Don't tell me anything bad, Pastor. Tell me good. When I leave church, make me feel good, not bad. We want to teach our children how good God is, and rightfully so. But God is a God of justice. Yes. And we tend to want to push aside the negative part of what God is like and what he's going to do. But as we're going to see in the chapter ahead, God is pouring out his wrath on evil. That's how much he hates sin. That's how much he understands what sin has done. And so he's pouring out his wrath, not because he hates people, but because he hates what Satan has done. And so they are given these bowls containing God's wrath. All right? Still good?
No, we got one.
Got one?
Can you explain?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Who we will reign over during the millennium?
We'll get there later.
Okay?
That's coming up. All right? So we'll deal with that when we get there. All right. Next, the seven angels commissioned. The seven angels commissioned. Chapter 16, verse 1. I heard a mighty voice from the temple. Now, in 15, he saw. Now he hears. Say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. Now, I've kind of divided it up for you so it's easy to see. So, verse 2. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Horrible, what's the word? Malignant sores. Sores that grow, sores that seep, sores that are destructive. And on everyone who has taken the mark of the beast. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became, now don't miss this little word, like. It became like. Doesn't mean it is, but it's like. It became like the blood of a corpse. Blood of a corpse is deep red. And everything in the sea died. Sorry about all of you who love, never mind. Everything in the sea dies. Verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. Now, this is not like, they became. Now, if you're going to notice as we go through this, there's a lot of similarity between here and the plagues that were placed on the Egyptians. They're very similar in what happens. And remember, the river turned to blood. Verse 5, and I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, notice, an angel has authority over all water, the one in control. You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Now notice, they're not questioning what God is doing. They're not questioning why he's doing it. They just automatically say, you're just. You have the right. You have the responsibility. I don't need to question your authority. Oh, Holy One, you are the one who is just, who is, always was, because you've sent these judgments. God, you have a right to do that. We can learn something here, because our question, God, why are you doing this? God, this doesn't seem fair. God, it seems a bit over the top. They just say, you're just. You have to trust God's justice, don't you? We don't like it that he's going to do it, but we have to trust him, correct? Okay. Verse 6, since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, in other words, the martyrs, the people who've been killed, you have given them blood to drink. It's their just reward. They've shed blood, now they got to drink blood. It's the just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. In heaven, no one ever questions God. In heaven, everyone looks at God and says, you're right, you're just, you're holy, you're pure, you can do what you want, you're God. We know that you always do everything right, even though we don't fully understand it. You are just. That's a hard lesson for us to learn, isn't it? Because we tend to question things, don't we? See, we tend to want answers. And the angels, they don't need answers. They know God. So God, you're just.
One more. There we go. Why wouldn't unbelievers notice that Christians aren't getting the sores?
They do. And we'll get there in a moment. Because what happens is, even though they notice it, it doesn't change anything. And we'll see that here in a moment, okay? Verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Can you say global warming? Sorry. Everyone was burnt by this blast of heat. So in other words, it was a blast. And they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. So here's the deal. Everyone knows God's doing this. And what is their response? They curse him. Notice the next sentence answers that question we just asked. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. You see, we tend to think if people would just see a miracle, they would change their minds. Jesus did all kinds of miracles. It didn't change all of Israel's mind, did it? Well, if God will just do something like this, they can see his power. Can't they see this? They can see it. But their hearts are so hardened, they're not going to change. And you see, that's what God always battled with. One of God's biggest problems with us is our stubbornness. Can't people see they're wrong? You ever thought that? Can't these people see that's not what God thinks? Can't they know what God says in his word? Don't they understand what this is going to do? Don't, you know, and we get on our horse. And we think, well, people, come on, we got to. And we think if they could just see, if they just know, if somebody just tell them. They see all of this just like people do today. and they still say no. In fact, they curse God. They don't turn to him and repent. They don't turn to him and give him glory. They turn to him and they're mad at him because of what he's doing to them. That still goes on in our world today. Some things don't change about mankind. You would think after all of this, by now, everyone would kind of sit up and take notice. But they don't, do they? No.
We got one other question. Why did the springs and rivers turn into blood, but the ocean didn't?
Well, the ocean says it's like blood. So you're thinking the river's going to flow into the ocean. Remember, I think it's 70%, somewhere close to that, of the world is the ocean. So the springs are going to be blood. It'll flow a little easier. But just get the picture of God's destroying things, bringing curse upon the earth.
One other added one here. How much time passes between each angel pouring out his bowl?
I don't know. And neither do you. It could be one right after another. It could be a few days. We don't know. We know this is setting up the end, but we don't know. Verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Now notice where this goes. It goes on the throne of the beast, Satan's place of where he's reigning. And his kingdom was plunged into darkness. And his subjects ground their teeth in anguish. In other versions, it can be bit their tongue. And they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. Here it is again. But they did not repent of their evil deeds or turn to God. One more time. How stubborn can we be? Verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies towards the west without hindrance. I think we have a map. I'll give them a moment to get it up there. I want you to kind of see this and see where it is, and let me kind of see where it is. You see, I got a little bit. Can you see my pointer over here? This is so cool, isn't it? Anyway, I'll blind. Never mind. You see the Euphrates River. Okay, the Euphrates River was the northern boundary. This was the boundary of the Roman Empire on this side. On this side, it was the boundary of the northern part of the Jewish promised land. What's going to happen is this river, which is a major source of conflict even now because of what it does and how it works and the need for water in all of these places, is going to dry up, which will give access from the armies to come in from this side to attack Israel. All right? In other words, what God is doing is baiting them. Here, let me give you access. Come to me. It'll dry up. It'll give access so that the kings from the east could march their armies towards the west without hindrance. Now notice why. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. Remember frogs in the Egyptian curse? The Egyptians had a god that looked like a frog. Leaf from the mouth. Notice three frogs, dragon, beast, false prophet. Verse 14 is important for you to understand. If you want to understand, here it is. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on the great judgment day of God Almighty. So in other words, the dragon, beast, false prophets send demonic spirits out, entice all the armies of the world. Deception. Deception. The people of this world, why don't they turn to God? They're deceived. Why don't people today turn to God? They're deceived. And so he goes throughout the world. He entices the world to come and come against God, come against Israel, come against the place where God wants to dwell. Let's fight against him. And so they bring all the armies of the world to this place for battle for the Lord on the great judgment day of the God Almighty. This great judgment day of God Almighty, we'll get to a little later. We call that the second coming. All right? Verse 15. Look, little aside, if you will, of verse 15. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and unashamed, walk around unprepared. Verse 16, and the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. This is the only place in the Bible where this word is used. It is called other things, Megiddo, other names for it throughout Scripture. But here it's very specific, Armageddon. Now, it's going to bring all the Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo, is a huge valley. Napoleon called it the greatest battlefield on the earth. It's just huge valley, about 20 miles or so. You can look across it, you can see it, it's just huge. In reality, the armies will fill that plus more. And Satan's deceiving them to come into God's trap.
A couple questions here. The kingdom of the beast is plunged into what kind of darkness?
Black darkness. No light darkness. Okay? Dark.
Dark darkness.
Dark darkness.
Okay. In verse 6, there's a reference. Do we have any idea how many martyrs have been up until now?
No. The only number we are given about the number of people who are saved during the tribulation is the 144,000 that God has set aside through Israel. We are not given any other numbers anywhere about how many people do accept the Lord during the tribulation period.
Who are the four living beings mentioned in verse 7?
They're the same living beings that were mentioned back in verses 5 and chapters 5 and 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, whatever chapters they are. I get all my chapters. Verses 4 and 5, the same living beings that are mentioned there.
What does Armageddon actually mean?
Oh, I knew that at one time. Somebody else know that? I will find out. I should know it. I can't remember. Sorry.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Chapter, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, "It is finished." Wow. In other words, all the plagues have been poured out, all the judgments have been poured out, all the wrath of God's been poured out. It is finished. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. Wow. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sin. We talked last week about Babylon, how it is a literal city, how it's the kind of the center part of Satan's doing and what he does and where it begins. And it was the first place where the Israelites were attacked. It was what they constantly fought against. So it has to do with so many different things. And made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared. And all the mountains were leveled. That's a pretty big earthquake. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. And what did they do? They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. Wow. Incredible. So this is the end of that. Now we start shifting a little and we get into some of the things everybody wants to know. The second coming, the millennial reign, all of these types of things. Now we begin to look at that because this is the end of the wrath of God during the tribulation time. Okay?
I looked up the meaning of Armageddon for you too.
Thank you.
So it actually means the hill of Megiddo, which is the name of the valley. But yeah. Megiddo actually means invading or intruding is actually what it means.
Megiddo, if you go there, it's also called a tell. A tell is a place where civilizations have been stacked on each other. You know, a city existed, someone comes in, puts it to ruin, builds on top of it. If I remember correctly, they have done excavations here, and there's as many as 21 different civilizations that they have found in this Megiddo area. This Megiddo has been such a critical place throughout history, more so than Jerusalem, because this was the crossing of one of the major trade routes. So it's a huge place, very important. So what for us? Well, here's what Jesus says about all this. Luke 21:25. There will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. That's how it ends. So that's what we have to look forward to. But we know that God does pour out his wrath and sin will be dealt with. No one escapes.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.